Hello? Hello?
Floppy?
Did you forget to breathe this whole time?
Floppy, welcome back.
I was here last week. I get real nervous around strangers.
That's fair. Especially strangers that are kind of famous, you know.
Yeah, he was too famous. That's the thing. You're never supposed to meet your heroes. And I took that to heart. And I was actually just, you know, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm also perturbed about something else.
What are you perturbed about?
Someone left a comment on one of our videos recently that it said Floppy is officially the Andrew Panton of the podcast. And
oh no!
The problem is,
it's official now, huh?
I'm like a goldfish with these episodes. It was like it was more than this episode ago, so I have no idea what I said to make them say that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which episode was it?
It was like 18, I think, or 19. And I have no idea. And I'm not going to go back and watch. But I will say, I had a very Andrew Panton moment that I do want to come clean about. We had a recording scheduled for Monday where we were doing this. We were covering Red versus Blue season 7, which we are doing today. But we had it planned for Monday and my internet went out. And it was kind of annoying, and I was just like, oh, okay, well, this is going to be a thing, I guess. And I mean, it was fine mostly because I had my laptop that it just defaulted to my my phone. But then Hammer said something like, well, we'll see if your internet comes back. And here's the problem. While the internet was out, I was like, man, I got kind of set on the idea of not being able to do the podcast tonight. Maybe I'm going to push. But then when Hammer started saying that we'll see about whether my internet came out, it felt like he was challenging me, like he thought I was going to push the recording. So I told Miss Floppy, like, oh, I'm just probably not going to record tonight if we don't get internet back. So it's no big deal. And then you start saying that. And then all of a sudden I was like militant, where I was like, nope, I'm recording tonight. And she's like, I thought you weren't. I was like, nope, Hammer's challenging me. And now I have to record. So I crammed all of Red versus Blue season 7 in, like right before we were ready to record. And then my saving grace, Packy and Chia flew in and they were like, at the last minute, they were both like, hey, can we push the recording? And I'm like, oh, darn, well, if they want to. All of that to say, Andrew Panton was completely right. Canceled plans are the best plans in the world. I don't know what I did the rest of that Monday night, but it was magnificent.
Hell yeah.
Did you get to see a cool storm?
I did. Oh, that's right. It was storming. It was great. You know what? I know what I did now. I played Pokemon and listened to the storm. It was great.
Hell yeah.
That sounds like...
sounds like a good night.
Something awesome to do.
Packy, you delayed too much. I thought I was about to get bullied. Packy's the cool one of the podcast, if you guys don't know. Packy and Chia both are.
Before we get into Red versus Blue, Floppy, I have a question for you.
Oh, is that what we're doing today? Okay.
I don't... can I leave the podcast?
No.
I used to get excited about Hammer's questions. Now I have no idea. What's up, Hammer?
Should be a relatively simple thing to answer.
I refuse.
Could be.
Could you define the word upload for me?
Oh, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do it because I'm going to get upset. And I don't want to get upset. We have a lot of new viewers lately, and I don't want... I actually left a comment on Reddit recently where someone was like, hey, could you put your uploads, which, you know, that's when you do what's necessary to upload a video.
Which is...
that's the whole definition. You do what's necessary to upload a video. And they were like, do you have a audio form of your videos where I could just like listen to them? And I was like, no, but I do have a podcast, Flying the Coop, that I'm on. However, I'm far less palatable over there. I can't remember what my word was, but I was basically like, I'm very unlikable over there. So maybe don't go listen to that.
You can't get us too many viewers.
Here's the problem. For the fans, if the fans are really interested, yeah. You know, Floppy took one day off and the whole podcast almost fell apart, apparently. Because we couldn't figure out how to upload a video because I didn't completely set it up beforehand. And I just said, hey, Hammer, can you upload this for me?
Right. But apparently it hadn't been edited. So that would require more than uploading it.
Which thing was it, though?
It was episode 29.
But no, okay, so but Packy had edited it.
Yeah, but I didn't give it your final touch.
Yeah, you didn't do the floppy edit, but that's just like speak now or forever hold your peace. That's on me.
I made the meal. I prepped the plate, but I didn't add the garnish on top.
Gotta give it that little bit of pepper.
A little bit of pepper.
A little bit of pepper.
Just a little bit of pepper.
But I guess my ultimate point being, it could have also just been uploaded the way it was.
Yeah, probably.
That's kind of what my point was. Like, can someone just upload it? Because I don't think we said anything that warranted cutting, which I think actually ended up being wrong.
Oh.
I did end up cutting something from the episode that, like, it's borderline. You guys get the almost real cut. Because if you don't know, we're all secretly, you know, really, I don't know, famous people who we just have a shameful Red versus Blue Rooster Teeth podcast.
No, we're just really big haters. I think I would have deleted it, but I assumed at that point editing that I was still giving it to you. Ah. So I didn't delete it.
And I will say it would have been on me if like there was something wrong. It would have been on me because all I told Hammer was to upload it. And that was kind of my overall point, that I just told you to upload it. So really all I cared about was it getting uploaded. I didn't really care about editing it because I was like, if there's something I don't want in there, that's on me.
Well, if anything ever goes wrong with the podcast, it's probably on you anyway. So,
well, okay.
Good to know.
That's fair. Does that answer your question, Hammer?
We'll let them decide.
Them?
Who's them?
The listener.
They're the ones who don't like me.
That's right. People listen to this.
They do.
Hey, well, everybody. Welcome.
In case you didn't know, you're listening to Flying the Coop.
Yes. Welcome. We are a group of individuals. And that's it.
We're just some cool people hanging out, chatting.
We kind of congealed here into this puddle.
Is it a lightly used puddle?
Oh, God.
Yes.
With me involved, probably.
So what we do here, hi, I'm Floppy. What we do here is I did have a joke today where I was so happy I got to use it. Someone commented on one of my videos and they said, like, thank you for the video, Mr. Floppy Disk. And I said, please call me Floppy. Mr. Floppy Disk is my father. And I've been laughing about that all day. And, I thought it was so funny. I screenshotted and sent it to my dad. And then my dad didn't respond because he's not proud of whatever this is.
Well, that's on him because that is a 10 out of 10, sir. Bravo. Bravo.
He also, my dad visited last week and he also got to watch real time me like self-diagnose with autism. So that was pretty crazy.
Oh, you have to tell us what that means.
Well, one, our coffee table book that we have downstairs for, you know, just guests to peruse. If you're a millennial, it's kind of cool. It is a binder with all of the base set jungle and fossil Pokemon cards. All of the original from 1998 to 2000.
As a millennial, I think that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's just like something to flip through. And it's right next to like a football book and then like a World War II book because, I don't know, I'm a white guy, so I feel like I had to. I think it came with the house, actually, as if I own this house. But my dad goes, hey, he probably was just picking up on the autism already. And he was like, hey, I have this pin. Remember how you liked fidget spinners? And I was like, Dad, we don't talk about that.
Oh, no.
And he's like, here's this pin. And it's a pin that has like a spinner on the top. And he hands it to me. And he's like, it's supposed to, so people can fidget with it. And like, we give it out to our customers. I was like, oh, cool. And my dad starts talking to me about like my channel. And I start telling him about the Brandon video that I just finished. And I hadn't finished it yet. I realized mid talking to him that I was spinning that pin so fast that it was reaching like Mach speeds. Like it was, you were hearing sonic booms from it breaking the sound barrier. And then I looked at Miss Floppy and my dad and they're both just staring wide eyed at the pin because I guess my eyes were glazed over while I was talking about it. And then I just put the pin down and said, oh, no. I don't think I'm going to touch this anymore. I'll tell you, the next time I started talking, I looked down and it was just going at 100 miles per hour again in my hand. So I don't have an official diagnosis, but boy, I do have a channel and a podcast where we talk about Rooster Teeth. So
According to that pen, you sure as fuck do.
Yeah, 100%. Also, I'm going to need one of those from your dad.
Oh, I'll let you have this one. I can't. I brought it to work. Such a horrible idea. And I brought it to work, and everyone was real upset. But you know who's not upset?
Who? Who's not upset?
Me.
Oh, Hammer's not upset.
No.
Oh, that's good.
Because before we get into season 7, I have a few things to follow up on.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Ooh.
Oh, we like follow-ups.
So it turns out a few of the miniseries actually do have director's commentaries.
Oh, okay.
Like gasp.
And so I gave those a listen and took some notes.
Okay.
The first one is for Recovery 1, the one with Wash and South and Delta.
Okay.
It was Bernie and Matt doing the commentating.
Oh, geez.
It was the first RVB thing they had done since, you know, the end of Blood Gulch. At one point, the first episode started off with, like, a big action sequence, but they ultimately swapped to the opening of the dead red guy and the dead blue guy to show that this is not going to be the RVB that you were used to.
Hmm.
Bernie, this is something I made note of, Bernie does, in fact, refer to the white soldier as Wyoming, saying that this is what happens with him between Out of Mind and season 5. I know we had kind of questioned that.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was never directly referred to.
Right. Second episode followed the pattern of an opening with, like, a dead body, and that kind of continues throughout all of them as, like, a theme. A lot of time was spent on the color choices for Wash, North, and South. North was a darker shade of purple because I guess it felt more manly.
Interesting.
And then Wash was like black and yellow because the yellow was sort of like associated with like warning or danger.
Interesting.
Weird.
The voice of command went through some variations before landing on what they described as telephone operator at 4:30 p.m. on a Friday.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. I can see that.
Accurate. That makes sense with how irritated she was all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Bernie confirms that the AI at the start of part 4 is, in fact, representing Epsilon.
Okay.
Okay.
Design for the meta and what was shown were carefully done. Bernie also hints at the meta being in various stages as well, which I know could lend some credibility to what Wikipediaing I did in season 6, part 1, about his armor and Wash not recognizing him.
Yeah. Because as you pointed out, he had the Mark 6 helmet, which we attributed to just being the limitation of the game. But according to this that you found, it could actually lend credibility to the fact that he changed his armor set since then.
Right.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Then the next commentary was for Relocated, which we covered not too long ago. This one had Bernie and Gavin commentating.
Gavin.
If you remember back to the opening shot of the first part, it was like super high in the sky, even above the bases.
I don't.
And
yeah,
it turns out that the way Gavin did that is by speeding the camera up so fast in theater mode, it literally breaks through the bounds of the map.
Intuitive.
Oh. Whoa.
Smart guy, that Gavin.
So it's a glitch.
Yeah. I've not related to Gavin as much as I did listening to this.
Oh, hell yeah.
Sarge, the shot of Sarge working on the upside down warthog was apparently just him reloading his shotgun, but shot it such a way it looked like he was doing stuff with, like, the turret.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
Gavin. Huh. Gavin did most of the machinima work solo.
No shit.
Which, finally, someone I can relate to.
Wow.
Damn.
According to Gavin, he found the dialogue scenes more difficult than he expected to. And just things like trying not to cross the, like, 180 degree line and stuff like that.
Oh, like filmmaking, like faux pas, right, and that kind of thing.
That makes me want to rewatch it again with this knowledge in mind, just to see how evident it is that the machinimating is mostly one person.
There's a few times where he pointed it out, and you can probably see it once with that knowledge in mind, but it was good enough you couldn't really tell.
Well, Hammer, where did you find these commentaries for people who might want to watch them?
I communicated with my anonymous friend and did some digging in the archives. But yeah, we can post the links to them.
Okay. If you're new here, Hammer is our onboard AI. Unfortunately, sometimes the answers that he gives aren't wholly satisfying, or they require more information that's classified. So sometimes we have to break through them.
It's like one step up from agentic.
What we learned today, he's two steps above Google AI.
Yeah.
Because when I went back through my notes, the one for the first, for recovery one, is when we discovered that Hammer is Delta.
That's true.
I wrote
that's
it down.
That's true. Hammer is Delta.
Gavin made a comment that during one of the filming sessions, Bernie apparently came up and just started talking to him. Nice. So then later on in theater mode, Gavin had to like fast forward through a bunch of footage just to get to the point where the characters started moving again.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Wow.
Which I have had to do that. Griff, this was an interesting one. Griff climbing the base was a Gavin idea that Bernie then wrote into the story.
Oh, cool.
Whoa.
And it sort of Bernie then followed that up with one of the approaches that he had for writing RVB was to think of smaller moments and ideas and then just write around those.
Okay, that makes sense. I feel like I've heard him say that before.
Okay. Yeah.
The opening shot of part four with the camera like going up the base and stopping at Griff was actually done in reverse. So the camera started at Griff and went down and then just, you know, reversed the footage.
Yeah, I'm definitely going back and rewatching this.
The joke of Sarge throwing grenades actually originated during filming and then they went back and wrote it in.
Okay.
The shot of Griff being killed and thrown off in that explosion apparently is actually something that happens in game, and you can be killed and like tossed off by the blue beam that shoots out.
Mm, yes, I did know that because I'm pretty sure after watching this, I tried climbing up to the top of that base in any regard, which was probably just putting a hornet on the map and flying up there. But then, yeah, the beam kills you. Yep, I remember that.
Man, wow.
There is a shot of Caboose messing with the Pelican crash, and there's like a light that turns on. Apparently that light is from the headlights of a mongoose on top of the ship, and then they just went in and painted out the mongoose.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Wow.
According to Gavin, the blue stuff shoots out of the base every 50 seconds.
Nice. I love that he remembered that.
Okay, this was another thing that we like discussed. Bernie addressed Sarge being able to understand Lopez.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay.
Apparently, Sarge has always been able to, but just chooses not to understand him most of the time. And he compared it to Han Solo and Chewbacca. You just kind of accept it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds like a Bernie-ism, totally, where it's like... Like the one that we said many episodes ago where Bernie said the Caboose is the only one who knows he's in a video game. It's like,
yeah.
Bernie quickly followed that up by saying that they have a habit of tossing continuity out the window for a good joke. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I remember hearing him say that before. I think that might've been in like a panel at a convention or something, but yeah, definitely that tracks. Okay. Yeah,
for sure.
The shot of the Reds coming down in the elevator to the basement is actually multiple shots layered on top of each other. So it was like the Reds themselves were like one shot, and then that got like moved or animated to make it seem like they're coming down. The grid at the bottom of the basement, like the blue one, apparently that only shows up in Forge mode. So anytime the grid popped up, Gavin would have to go back later on and match up the camera angle in order to get those shots.
Holy shit. Jeez. I just thought about how difficult that would be.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
Apparently, it took about an hour.
I was going to say, because that's pretty seamless, especially when the grid comes on, like scans across the floor and then does the things and then turns off again.
Yep.
Holy.
And then the last note I had is that the shot, like going down the barrel of like the new Warthog turret, is apparently actually like a fast shot of going through the pipe on the map high ground.
Okay. That's funny, because when we watched that, I was actually like, wow, that's impressive that they were able to film that. I thought maybe there was just like a no clip thing on the camera and they could go into the barrel. I was totally fooled that that was actually the barrel of the Gauss rifle on the Warthog.
Yeah.
Huh.
How fun.
Yeah. Ugh. Just a little bit of research I did on those.
That's
two.
Yeah, man.
That's really impressive given the fact that that was what, 2009, 10, something like that. Like,
but now,
yes, now.
Now we're caught up, we're educated, a little smarter, a little quicker. Could someone, well, I guess it's probably better to recap the mini series that gave us a little bit of insight. Can someone just set the scene for season 7?
Hold on. Let me flip my page back. Are we talking about the miniseries, Relocated? The one that Hammer just found the commentary on?
You certainly can. Or that's you could just set us up for like where our people are, where season 7 starts. If somebody hasn't watched Red vs. Blue in a while, they didn't like just watch Relocated or season 6, like where are we at in the story?
We are at a new base.
Yes.
And we have new armor.
Valhalla.
Yep, that's the one. As we said, Griff got shot off a top of a building, but he survived, so we're good.
His sister's dead, yep. Theoretically.
Is she, though? Well, yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. That's what I meant to say.
We've got Lopez back. Mm-hmm. And Donut.
Yay.
And he's very thirsty.
He is very, very, very thirsty.
And he mentioned that there is something under the sand.
Yes.
And that somebody needs help to find said thing under the sand.
And Griff was not a fan of that.
No, not at all. And all the while, that darn sneaky blue caboose was up to something. And we...
sneaking around.
We know he was doing something.
Gathering body parts, gathering ship parts.
And pieces of a ship. And a lot of talking to himself and telling stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Hammer, first you had us watch the trailer.
Yes.
Which took place at Outpost 17B.
Yeah, so whatever Caboose is doing causes an explosion. which Simmons sees this because he's spying on him.
Yep.
And when he tries to report into Sarge, Sarge is in the middle of telling Griff he needs to shower more often.
I like Caboose's little, crap.
And we did
when the explosion happened.
And we did learn and Relocated that Simmons has spying privileges with Caboose.
Yep.
Oh,
but
yeah,
Caboose can take them away.
Yes, he can. And so Simmons was spying on Caboose, assuming, and we assume that Caboose knew and was actively allowing Simmons to spy on him.
But then Griff points out, how can he shower daily when it's impossible to tell the time because the sun never sets?
Yep. That's a tough issue out there in Valhalla.
Yeah. And most Halo maps.
Yeah, but which he should be used to from Blood Gulch. But, you know.
Even though they somehow had daylight savings.
That's true, too. Continuity goes out the window for a good joke.
Yes, it does.
Simmons points out that Caboose is still alone at Blue Base, to which Sarge says that this could give them an advantage, even though they already knew that. Griff then proceeds to try and use Lopez as a calculator, but Sarge removed that feature so that Lopez can make fart noises.
Honestly, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, mathematics or fart noises. Everybody likes a good fart.
Because, like, in school, they told you you're going to need math when you get older, but nobody warned you about farts.
Nope.
You're going to need those.
People be tooting.
I know people have bitched about this till the cows come home, and Hammer, I don't think you ever had to experience this, but the one thing I remember being really mad about in math class was that, I vividly remember being in third grade, and my third grade teacher got mad because she saw me using a calculator to do something, and she's like, you're not going to walk around when you're an adult with a calculator in your pocket. And I just want to say, fuck you. Yes, I am.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%. See, what they should have said is you're not just going to walk around with a random fart in your pocket, because that would have been true.
Griff points out how Donut has been unconscious for 3 days, despite literally just saying he doesn't know when a new day starts.
Yep.
I think it's okay to upgrade him to comatose at this point.
And then we get an appearance of Church in white armor watching over the Reds and Blues.
Yeah, and not his usual transparent version of ghosty Church.
Well, I will say, I just want to, Simmons had a great line where he was talking about, if I'm counting you as a soldier, I should count the vehicles, some of the bigger rocks, and fuck it, let's give the trash can a gun. But yeah, we got Church.
Caboose proceeds to light himself on fire, and then Tex shows up.
Yep.
Fire! That's bad. Bad fire. Oh my god.
Tex tells Church that they are not done, apparently, and that they should get started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a cool moment with Tex and Church, where Church basically is like throwing up his hands and kind of saying, like, he's doing it in the not dramatic way, but like just kind of saying, like, well, fuck it. You know, basically kind of throwing in the towel, but he's not really. And Tex kind of challenges him with, like, so then we're done, right? So if you're really done, and Church is like, no, we're not.
And then Caboose comes running out of the base on fire. Oh, no. Now I'm burning. That's much worse than other things burning.
Without using the wiki, how did people interpret Church and Tex in this?
Oh, I haven't read what the wiki says on that. So,
all right. Let's just, like, what are they?
Yeah, that was my question when I saw them, because I was like, wait, what?
It seemed like they were, to me, they were actual,
like, solid
ghosts. Like, actually dead computer programs watching. Not ghosts, like, because they're both of them were based off of ones and zeros at that point. But yeah, I don't know. I assumed. You know, it's weird because I don't, in all of the watchthroughs I've done, I don't think I've watched this trailer since before Recreation came out. So all the thoughts I have on it are based on what I thought then.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I mean, I don't really know for sure. Why do you ask?
Oh, I'm just curious because I did look, and apparently, according to Bernie, Church and Tex in this trailer are meant to be more metaphoric rather than actual characters.
What the fuck does that mean?
What?
Yeah, what the fuck? Is it? Oh, you know what it is? I can figure this out with a Star Wars reference.
Okay.
Do you remember in episode 9 when they were like, we need Harrison Ford to be in this movie, so we're just going to make him a ghost? And everyone's like, well, wait, was he a Force ghost? And J.J. Abrams was like, eh. So it's like that.
So it's a Wikipedia moment. Okay.
No, I'm out of ideas. Or I have too many, I have too many bad ideas that I'm just going to put all into one film and call it The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh my god.
If it helps, in my notes, I just wrote, Church and Tex are back? ?
Yeah. But that gets us into the actual season proper.
Yeah, with chapter 1, Don't Get Me Started.
So Sarge is basically at war with pretty much solely Caboose and the Blues, and the team that may or may not exist.
Yeah, because somebody deleted them.
Yeah, all the records of Blue Team were deleted, and among real problems that it would cause, this is going to cause a lot of moral quandaries for Sarge.
Simmons questions the point of announcing the demise of the Blues, to which Sarge says it gives him the chance to surrender so that, you know, the Reds can share a meal with him and then proceed to poison his food and stab him in the neck with a fork.
There you go.
It's the only logical thing to do.
To which, you know, Simmons obviously does his thing, and Sarge is glad Simmons is here because it boosts his kill to death ratio. And with enough of a lead, he can kill Griff and still stay ahead.
He's glad I can help. But then we got Lopez fixing the warthog. the one that they drove off in the crazy runaway scene at the end of season 6.
Yep. Sarge asks him what's going on. Lopez says that the ETA of it being fixed is never -1. And then Sarge proceeds to call Lopez a really fast robot and then tells Griff to add RFR to the acronym journal. He gets a status update from Simmons and then gets another status report from Lopez.
But then we get the question of Griff coming in with some good logic and saying, basically, have we thought this all the way through? And to which Sarge says, just basically we invade the Blue Base. We beat the Blues. We win. You suck. That's the whole way. But then Griff asks a really good question. But then who do we fight? Which is just more Blues. And Griff correctly points out they haven't sent any new replacements to replace or help Caboose. So why would they send more? And then what point would Sarge have to live?
Right. And so ultimately that results with Sarge, for now, delaying the destruction of Caboose.
Just for a little bit.
But not before Sarge accuses Griff of traitorism.
Oh my, that, I have that in my notes. Traitorism.
Par for the course. Sarge did mention that they have a new command.
Yep.
So maybe the UNSC Caboose visits the Reds and takes some parts from the ship.
Is that when he's like hiding behind the crates?
That might be a little later, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when he breaks into their underground something or other. Okay. Yeah.
Spoilers.
Spoilers, sorry. If you're listening to this before you watch the show.
Sarge recalls the moment from last season when they supposedly deleted the Blues, which I guess in this retelling includes killing Griff, Simmons being an Autobot, and Caboose meeting up with Jenkins.
I fucking lost it during his retelling of what happened when Simmons transformed.
Oh, man.
But then we get chapter 2, free refills. It starts off with Caboose telling stories of Blood Gulch to the Epsilon AI. And
because why? Memory is the key.
It is. I thought we were done with that part.
that's from the show. I get it.
Sarge looks for Griff so that he can figure out where Simmons is. Because Griff is supposed to watch Simmons, Simmons is supposed to watch Donut, and Donut is supposed to watch Sarge.
Yes.
Nobody's watching.
But was that the actual breakdown? That's incredible. Did you write that?
Yeah.
Simmons watches Donut.
I take notes.
Donut watches me. Yeah, okay.
He takes thorough notes.
Yeah, he takes thorough notes.
What to say.
My current notes page for this batch of episodes is 7,976 characters.
Characters. Okay.
How the fuck do you? Oh, you take like computer notes. Okay. Yeah,
that makes sense.
I thought you like counted. I thought you wrote it down old school style and was counting each character you wrote down.
Okay. No. Well, and
Floppy and I are old. We write them with our hands.
That's what I say. My
he wrote it with his hands too.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He did.
We used a pen. Sorry, we used a pen.
I mean, I technically could have used one to press the keys.
That's wild.
You using a pen to press the keys, Amber?
He's got a pen in each hand.
You got pen fingers? You got pen fingers?
Oh, AI pen fingers.
That's a good
band. That's the star of my next book.
Drooping a cool in the keyboard pen.
Sarge is building a new prototype.
Oh, before that, though.
Oh, before that.
Sarge actually praises Griff because Griff knew where Simmons was.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of the start of a little bit of a shift for Simmons and Griff this season.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Griff starts to get some, some, I don't know about well-deserved, but he gets recognition.
Yeah, gets recognition.
But yeah.
Simmons down there talking to another Sarge.
Yep, working on those father issues.
Mm-hmm, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wrote in my notes, that is not Sarge.
No.
Who are you talking to down there? No one. And the pop of Apollo Griff. I love boners.
Speaking of relocated again, Hollow Griff is a slightly different shade of orange than normal Griff.
Huh.
Oh, okay. I actually never noticed that.
I definitely didn't.
But then, yeah, Sarge needs Simmons to be at a meeting so that Simmons will agree with him, but doesn't need to tell him what he's agreeing to.
No.
Nope.
Yeah, just blind loyalty. That's all he wants.
Simmons is kind of in a mood now.
Yeah, he's a bit pissy. He opened up that therapy can, and he can't unopen it.
Yep. Well, Sarge took the can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did.
Kind of squished it.
But then they discuss how the Reds allegedly deleted the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Quote unquote, someone deleted the Blues.
And if they defeat them, it won't count.
Exactly. With no record, it doesn't count. So Sarge has decided to hold off defeating the Blues until they can make things official. Griff and Sarge are in agreement.
Did I say that right?
But meanwhile, Caboose continues to regale Epsilon with tales of Blood Gulch, and then asks Donut if he ever gets the feeling that you're being watched.
I'm talking to you, Donut.
Yeah, he says,
I'm asking you a question. Yeah.
I've never seen that joke done in like anything else. Obviously, do you ever get the feeling you're being watched? But to immediately be like, I'm asking the person that is watching me actively.
Yeah.
Chapter 3, beautiful. Visiting Hours.
Visiting Hours.
Here we go.
Which I did make a note. On the website, these episodes aren't actually titled, so I had to just go to the wiki and write all of the titles down. On the website, it's just Chapter 1, Chapter 2, da-da-da.
I took a screenshot, but I've lost it now because we were going to record on Monday. I typed into my TV YouTube Red versus Blue season, and it has like the autocompletes.
Yeah.
Fucking YouTube, man. Season 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And I was like, what the fuck? Why is there no 7? And then when I picked season 2, because I was trying to like, I was going to click it, but I ended up like pressing in. So I went to season 2. And then for the season 2, the next recommended video, when that was over, it was just going to play season 7. So I was like, well, I guess that works.
Of course.
Someone's out there making a machete order of Red versus Blue. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. But so, yeah, Sarge is searching for Donut.
But Donut is apparently informing Caboose that he has a message for Church. And so Caboose quickly gets Donut caught up on what happened last season. And then Donut says Tucker needs help and that it is in the sand.
Yep.
To which Caboose briefly questions if Tucker is in Donut's pocket.
No, Tuck. Tuck? What do you want me to tuck? My mother told me never to tuck anything of anyone else's.
Tucker, is that you? Why? And then we get the great, why did you shrink? Because now, so Caboose hears Sarge and he says, anybody here, where are you? And Caboose says, Tucker, is that you? Why are you talking like a pirate? which is the throwback that was such all a, the
they
way
totally didn't,
to his mind. Yeah.
They totally didn't need to put that in there, but that was such a beautiful callback to Caboose's mind.
Where he really just, was. He thinks Southern accents are pirates.
Mm-hmm. But Caboose mentions how somehow he loses the keys to a base that doesn't have doors.
Yes.
But Sarge
Caboose
is
on fire this episode. I swear.
Yeah.
Like the metaphorical, not the literal version, like in the trailer, but the metaphorical version of him. He's so fucking funny.
Sarge has somehow come under the impression that Caboose is holding Donut captive and interrogating him.
Yes.
And then proceeds to reveal a bunch of stuff to Caboose, thinking Donut already talked. And Simmons is just, he's done. He's going to go sleep under a tree.
I wrote down, Simmons is now Griff.
He told you about our secret new vehicle. Damn it, Donut, you idiot.
He told me about this and...
He won't talk. Hear that, Donut? You won't talk.
He told me about this and... And Sarge is like, he told you about that and our hologram chamber?
I like that Caboose gets mad about it. It's like going around knocking on people's lawn doors and promising them cookies.
Now you're toying with us.
I vaguely remember after episode 3, I vaguely remember, I'm pretty sure that season 7 was the latest season. I'm having trouble with this sentence. Season 7,
deep breath in through your nose.
None of this is making it in.
I'm going to cut all of this out.
What about this?
How about this?
That might make it in.
What about this?
So I'm going to cut that out. Okay, that's going to get picked up on both our mics. Season 7 was the first season. Boss Nass, was that you?
You said going to get a bongo.
Oh, my fucking God.
The planet core.
Misa signing off at this podcast.
Stink a whiff.
Remember when Jar Jar stepped in the poopy? What a great movie.
When that creature farted at him.
Oh, yeah. What about when Anakin had the worst delivery ever and goes, are you an angel?
Oh, my God.
All right. So, Babe Season 7.
Do you remember Coruscant?
No.
Coruscant. Oh. Coruscant. He calls it Coruscant.
Coruscant.
That's how I hear it on all of the AI videos about Star Wars. They call it like Coruscant. And I'm just like, I immediately scroll.
You're Dexter Jetster. What a character.
So, Season 7.
I was hoping.
Back when I first watched it, I was up to date. This was me watching it as it came out. So, this was the first time in watching Red vs. Blue that had ever happened. So, I remember being part of the Let's Figure That Out, Let's Figure This Out group, and making a meme that was Caboose asking Bernie for plot cookies because we weren't getting enough out of the episodes that we had so far.
Mm. Did he?
I want a plot cookie. Huh.
I don't know if he ever responded. Apparently, he was, according to that wiki entry about him mentioning what was going on with Church and Tex, he said it on the Let's Figure This Out Shizno podcast, but he never responded to my meme, so, you know, whatever.
Oh. Rude.
But, yeah, at the start of Chapter 4, we get a little bit of a flashback. The counselor is interviewing Donut sometime after Season 5, and he's trying to, like, debrief him with multiple choice questions and just gets more and more confused to the point where he's like, I don't see a point in continuing this.
Mm-hmm. By lightish red, do you mean pink?
No, I mean lightish red. Let's come back to this during the freeform period.
Oh, that's where we landed after the bomb sent us into the future. I'm just going to put down other. Other's good. I like other.
Which one does he say? I don't have a checkbox for that.
Oh, I think it was one. That one, yeah.
Yeah, it was oh, okay. Another. Then the counselor's just like, well, I don't think we need to keep going.
I can only imagine what the other questions were.
No geez. Shit. Oh, my God.
I mean, that kind of also continues to hint that something was up with Blood Gulch and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because what we thought was time travel, apparently.
Was apparently not.
Was no. Apparently not, yeah.
Not at all.
Or other.
And
then,
and we realize now that Donut is filling Caboose in on everything. it's specifically that there is a beacon, a distress beacon, I guess, left by Tucker.
Yep.
Which that is what I believe, well, part of, I guess, not the beacon itself, but we heard Tucker in season 6 calling out for help.
Yep.
At command, they just happened upon it where he's saying that it's in the sand, which, mm-hmm. you know, which is what we've been referencing already in this season.
But then as they're telling that, Donut points out that this thing on the floor is making a lot of racket. And Caboose talking about how he's telling its stories to the best of his memory. And he's like, Donut's like, the best of your memory?
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet those are some pretty weird stories.
But then we learn that apparently since the end of season 6, Wash has been arrested.
Which was a little confusing for me. I wasn't sure if he was in jail or not. Like, I couldn't figure out where he was at first.
You could say he has a lot of new metal in his life.
Yeah.
Which
I didn't know if he got, like, demoted. I couldn't tell until they specifically said, like, I guess, yeah, going to jail is a certain form of demotion.
If I'm not mistaken, in the season 6 bonus content for the DVD, Shannon, who plays Wash, I guess, in his mind, imagined that Wash was going to get, like, a big medal or whatever for stopping Freelancer. So now, with this and making the joke, that he has a lot more metal in his life.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's incredible.
But, yeah, Donut and Caboose call up Wash in jail, and Wash is unable to help them, and then apparently wants to go talk to somebody about something.
They gave us shiny new bases.
Yep.
They gave you a base?
I think I'm going to get a drum set.
Well, and it implies that Wash has realized where something might be. Most likely, I guess I shouldn't get into it yet. But
you can imagine how pissed off he probably is, though, that, like, the simulation troopers that were just as culpable of what happened at the end of season 6 as he was. I mean, granted, he was the one that actually hit the switch and everything, but they were just as responsible for it, and they got gifted these bases to go continue their duties, but then he got thrown in fucking jail, so he's probably pretty pissed.
Yeah, but I equated it to, like, it's if, like, I, you know, I had a kid, which thank God I don't, and they got behind the wheel of my car Same. And crashed into my neighbor. And, like, my kid's not going to jail, but I am. And it's like, that would be, I feel like that's the same. It's like Caboose is basically a child. And even like Simmons is basically a child in comparison to Washington.
So the Reds, like, and the Blues are just Freelancer babies.
Exactly.
Okay. Freelancer
babies. Some of them more literally than others.
Episode 5.
In my notebook, I have ticker that Wash is looking at.
Oh yeah. Hubby. I had her write this note because when they first cut to Wash in prison, what ultimately becomes prison, he's looking at a ticker that goes by, and it says something about a peace treaty being formed. And it's like it's tenuous at best or something like that. It's
mm-hmm.
and
it, oh, yeah.
it's I think it's talking about the peace treaty between the humans and the aliens.
Yeah.
And because they've mentioned the UNSC, and this kind of is like a subset of the Halo story, I wonder if that's either referencing just the humans and the aliens from the Red versus Blue universe, or the fact that towards the end of Halo, is it Halo 3-ish, like the humans and the Covenants kind of form somewhat of an alliance.
Yeah, after the events of, after the last prophet is killed and they destroy the flood.
Yeah, it was just really interesting. It was just a quick like thing that went by. There was also something about Griffball up there.
Chapter 5, local host. Wash hangs up the phone call. Donut goes back to the Reds. Caboose wants to use the basement at Red Base. Sarge comes up with a plan to rescue Donut, but Donut gets back and Griff gets the credit for it. Donut delivers the breaking news that there is only one Blue, because I guess this confirms it now.
As if it was a question before.
There might have been somebody hiding on the base. You never know.
And then Caboose sneaks Epsilon into Red basement, which is, when we get him sneaking by in the box.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sneaking.
The
I
random
am sneaking.
Pop-ups, how he's on one side of the screen, then he pops up on the other side of the screen, and then he's back over here. I was
that Scooby-Doo-ass moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the boxes, as I brought up earlier, he's like just shifting.
And how during all of it, Sarge is talking about how they have a leak, and Griff is like, it's probably closer than we think, or whatever he said.
Box just sliding across the ground behind him.
Yeah, and you hear Caboose, I am sneaking, I am sneaking, I am sneaking.
I am sneaking.
Chapter 6, one new message. Caboose gets Epsilon into the holo room, and Epsilon, like, opens up, and we get a projection of Delta.
Oh, yeah. I had a note of that, too, that one of the things that really threw us for a loop back in the day was how at the end of the previous episode, Caboose's dialogue of him saying, it's you, is like, oh, it's you. Right. And then in this one, he's like, it's you. Like, it's two very different, like, exclamations of it being somebody. And I remember us, like, all freaking the fuck out. Like, who the hell is it supposed to be? And there's so many theories about it.
I love that we're getting back. He's like old, like, reactions. Yeah. Like, the old, like what the live kind of... I guess the live reactions were. That's so sick.
Yeah, it all came flooding back while I was watching this. I was like, oh, God, it's like 2009 again, and I'm however old I was then, because I don't remember, because that was a long time ago.
That's fair.
But quote-unquote Delta says that Epsilon remembers the other AI fragments and decided that Caboose would be comfortable greeted by Delta.
Which makes sense. He delivers information in a way that Caboose can digest.
Yep.
How about a giraffe?
It would give you many different things, and let's just leave it at that.
And Epsilon Delta basically wants Caboose to investigate this location that Tucker is at and reminds him that memory is the key, even though we were apparently done with that part.
I do like when he's like, and he's like, your recent attempts to build a new body aren't working. And Caboose is just like, there was a fire. And Delta's like, yes. We remember.
I like he said a scenario team was sent to investigate the area, and Caboose is like, they sound dumb.
where he's like, he's like, that's where Tucker is. And Delta's like, we don't have memories of him. And Caboose is like, yeah, I never really liked him. So I left him out. I left him out when I was telling the stories.
But then the Reds catch Caboose, and Caboose informs them about his plan to leave and find Tucker, and to some people's surprise, Sarge and Griff end up deciding to go with him because it can help get the Blues back into the system and make their victory more official.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Permission granted. Does that mean yes?
If he dies on this mission, and let's be honest, when he dies on this mission,
Simmons, Donut, and Lopez are going to end up staying behind in Valhalla. So Donut looks forward to the upcoming sleepover, Simmons mm-hmm. and Griff both quickly regret their decisions.
Yeah, yes, we could decorate. How awesome is that going to be? I'll go get my wallpaper book. Simmons, you could be thinking about paint colors.
But yeah, chapter 7, Bon Voyage. Apparently, Caboose uses 6 toothbrushes.
This one does.
I'm just going to assume that makes sense to you.
Packing is the best part.
Yeah, Donut took the liberty of packing. Lopez mm-hmm. is apparently supposed to feed Simmons and Donut and give them plenty of yard time.
Gotta let him out and play every once in a while.
Oh, I love yard time.
Is that where Lopez says something like, do they get unleaded or super unleaded?
Yeah. I was at a gas station today and I was pumping the gas and I was just crying. Standing next to this guy who, the number was going up and he's pumping gas and we're both kind of standing like just a few feet from each other. And I see the number and we've both been standing there for a while. Like I went into the store actually while Miss Floppy stayed at the pump. And then I came out with some sodas and then it was still going. And I said to the guys like, man, you don't think that number can get any higher, but there it goes. And he goes, what? And I'm like, oh, nothing. And he goes, what did you say? I was like, oh, I just said that gas is expensive. And he goes, uh-huh. And I was like, this wasn't going to be weird, but this is going to be a totally normal interaction. And I don't know. I just needed someone else to know that I really tried to talk to a human being today.
Well, that's where he went wrong.
You tried to bond and that human forgot to human. Yeah.
I just sounded so mad. Anyways.
How dare you talk about gas to me, you liberal?
I was like, oh, he's like, we're doing this for our freedom. And I'm like, oh, okay. Never mind. I'm good.
But they apparently plan to take the new warthog out because it has passed 0 tests, meaning the enemy can't even know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And somehow they drive the warthog into the water.
They just drove it straight into the water, and I love that it's the like mariachi music playing.
Yeah, I was about to say the music comes in immediately.
Mm-hmm. I love the effect of it when they come out of the water, and you can hear it kind of very distant and almost underwater, and then it comes out full volume. That's great.
Yep. And when they drove off and into the water, Simmons went off to go blow up the blue base.
Yep. Caboose takes a pee break on a beach. And Sarge comes to the conclusion that the coordinates of Tucker's location are another clue to finding him.
That's very astute.
We also have his coordinates. Oh, another clue.
It's not a clue.
Caboose needs to pee again.
Can we stop again? I have to pee.
Donut goes to check on Simmons, and he has a little conversation with Lopez that was kind of funny. And it's because he's basically saying that Simmons is going to blow up the blue base, and Sarge is going to be mad.
Yep.
And so he's going to go check on him.
And then the away team arrives at this, like, desert location with, like, ruins and mm-hmm. stuff. And they enter...
Sand Trap
is the name of the map. With the elephants.
The elephants and that map, the one that would drive around in a loop, was so much fun. I had so many epic battles on that elephant.
Mm-hmm. Same.
They apparently enter a minefield. And there is a brief conversation about how the Earth does not belong to us. We belong to it.
You can't own a field.
That's... actually a fun little a thing that, like, not a misnomer but I guess a misunderstanding, where a lot of people tell the story about how Native Americans sold Manhattan to settlers. Native Americans sold it to settlers for, like, basically like a pile of beans or something like that, to be like, oh haha, they're so stupid, like, we bought all of Manhattan for, like, beans and a couple of guns. But the point was that Native Americans thought the idea of owning land, like, in theory, was so stupid that their opinion of it was the other way. That, like, they're just giving us guns and saying, like, we own this now. And it's like, okay, that doesn't mean anything. Like, that's stupid. So
I was going to ask if that's why it's called Bean Town, but that's the wrong city. Never mind.
It's actually why they call it the Big Apple.
What?
What?
Apple's not a bean.
Is a bean an apple, though?
I suppose it's a matter of perspective.
No.
Thank you.
If my perspective is that apples are beans,
to then the your bean, perspective is chaos flawed. Is an apple. What?
No.
The apple is chaos dare. To the bean. There we
don't
go.
Don't you dare try and quote Morticia.
Jesus Christ.
Chapter 8, Directions. Simmons and Donut find the remains of Caboose's project, and Simmons offends Lopez with a racist robot comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's okay because he has friends that are robots.
Yeah,
yep. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Caboose ponders if thinking counts as moving.
It's a fair question. Yeah.
A voice from the elephant attempts to guide them out of the minefield, but that doesn't go to plan.
Not with them. What's a step?
Yeah.
A step ain't a standard unit of measurement.
Also, I don't remember what part this is from, but my first note for this episode is passenger is for people with respect or a shotgun.
And Sarge qualifies for both.
Yes, mm-hmm. He does.
I like when Griff is like basically saying like, Sarge, we might die, so I have to tell you. Like, the reason why I don't listen to you or follow orders and why I don't think anything you ever say is important. He's like, I just want you to understand. It's not because I'm lazy, or it's because I just don't like you. I have no respect for you and I have no positive feelings towards you. And then it leads to my favorite joke of the episode where he says, Griff is just making fun of Sarge, and then he says, you're an ineffective leader who doesn't understand this primary weapon has the effective range much shorter than most weapons.
Yeah, as he shoots him, yeah, from a distance, shoots. Yeah.
And yeah, because those shotguns in Halo 3 did not have range.
Not at all.
You had to be right up on somebody.
But yeah, Chapter 9, My House from Here. Sarge and Griff managed to escape the minefield and get greeted by someone that we will come to know as CT. And a few moments mm-hmm. later, Caboose mm-hmm. just falls out of the sky.
I wrote down, oh, Caboose made it.
I went
wow.
really high.
Wow, Dana, that was a big explosion. The blue guy's back.
Yep. Sarge critiques God.
Yes.
As one does.
But CT informs them that they are in a restricted dig site, and Sarge just off the bat does not trust this guy.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Good intuition on his part.
Mm-hmm.
As usual.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And then he's very quick because like Caboose is going to just say what they're doing. And then Sarge is just like, oh, we're actually, you know, oh, we're going to meet all these people. Like, oh, we're going to go like all these guys.
Yeah. Sarge full on points out, what if they're the ones causing trouble for Tucker?
Right.
It's like, what? Good call, man. Somebody read ahead in the script.
Back with Simmons and Lopez. Simmons isn't racist, and he talks about how he's part cyborg and all that, and how he's down with the ones and zeros.
And he said, it's not racist. I didn't know you were standing there.
Yeah.
And it's like, how does that not make it racist?
Oh, Simmons.
But yeah, you know, he manages to patch it up a bit. And then immediately follows it up with a comment about Lopez's, like, Mexican anger or grudges or whatever.
The grudges.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, you Mexicans like to hold a grudge. Like, oh, whoops.
Just didn't he do, like, a slow head turn?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Simmons is like, I'll just find another way to blow up the base.
But then the away team gets startled by Smith the alien. And despite CT confirming that he's friendly, that doesn't really help his case.
No.
No, it does not.
And then the episode wraps up with Wash having a meeting with the chairman.
Yeah. My dear Agent Washington. I love his voice popping in with the music and everything. Yeah. It's so good. It's like, oh, yeah, more plot.
Yes, exactly, Packy. More plot. Like, that's when you're like, this is Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the Reds and Blues shenanigans isn't fun, but it is fun when the plot gets like advanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chapter 10, Lay of the Land. Simmons finds out that Caboose kept Epsilon, even though he wasn't supposed to. And so he tries to call up Sarge, but the call doesn't go through. So now Lopez needs to use his magic powers and fix their radio from Valhalla.
via the radio.
I am a magic robot.
Because I'm magic. I'm a magical robot.
Lopez, maybe their radio's busted, Einstein. But it says Einsteino.
I do like Simmons' question where he's like, how in all these years have you not learned a single word of English?
Can you fix it? Can I fix the radio from here? Yes, because I am a magic robot.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and then that's the part that you mentioned where he's like, have you not managed to learn a single word of English? And Lopez is like, I don't know, probably trying to avoid conversations like this.
Yeah, but CT explains that, you know, some new rules are that apparently people and aliens work together now to investigate this kind of thing, and that they have to have, like, one alien per person and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. he agrees to let these three stay and hang out until their war hog is good to go.
But they have rules.
Yes. You cannot go looking for stuff. And what are you supposed to do if you find something?
Not take it.
That was a trick question because you won't find anything.
Because you're not looking for anything.
Right. Maybe I knew that was a trick question, so I gave you a trick answer.
There are no trick answers. But, you know, something doesn't seem right. Yeah. As Caboose points out, everything is on the left.
Isn't this the episode that ends with the camera backing away from them and panning around to seeing all the dead aliens and soldiers? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the Chewbacca alien makes a noise. And then CT is just like, he's like, no, I don't think they know anything.
yeah.
But he says, like, keep working on getting it open.
Right? Yeah.
Which that's, boy, what could that mean? It's the thing in the sand, probably.
But chapter 11, dumb cop, bad cop, which the punctuation on this was dumb cop, comma, bad comma, cop.
I'm not going to say anything because we're going to have to cut it, but you know what I'm thinking. Okay. Everyone here knows. Nobody listening knows, but...
We know.
Well, if you think you know, shoot me a message, and I won't tell you if you're right.
We will tell you if you're wrong.
Sarge,
dumb cop, comma, bad cop.
Sarge and Caboose talk about how Sarge has been in the military a long time, because they talk about jeeps without guns and like something you put on your head that isn't like an armored helmet.
Yeah, what kind of car doesn't have a cannon?
Griff points out that he cannot find any radios. But then back with the Valhalla trio, Lopez built some mongoose. But he calls them motorcycles, even though they have four wheels. Simmons immediately blows one up.
Well, yeah, that's why he made two of them.
Yep.
He made two because he knows that they're going to break one. If I've learned anything, it's build two vehicles.
Yep.
Go ahead.
You go ahead, Gia.
Okay, I was going to say we missed one little thing back with the away team.
Yeah.
Caboose is going around trying to like find radio parts and he just walks up to like every vehicle. Sheila, is that you?
Yeah. Sheila, is that you? Are you there? Delta? Tex?
Can I just say, just to solidify that Packy and Chia are the cool ones, Chia just casually just called them the away team. That's really cool. I wish I would have said something cool like that.
Well, Hammer was I couldn't remember what Hammer was referring to them as, so I was just like, the away team.
I was like, oh man, that's really smart. But no, that's where, before he blows up the motorcycle, Simmons says that he's naturally responsible.
Yes.
It's just, like, responsibility just comes naturally to him, and people take advantage of it.
And then when he blows up the first one, Simmons comes back in, Lopez is like, the keys are in the ignition.
Yep. But back in the sand, CT continues to just get really agitated with these guys.
And as one does.
Apparently.
I wrote in my notes, I love watching Griff and Sarge interacting.
Yes.
Apparently.
It's driving that man crazy.
Yeah. CT has a rank that Sarge and Griff wouldn't recognize.
Mm-hmm. Because it's secret? Is it regular secret or top secret?
And then alarms start going off. And then we get chapter 12. Well, hello.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited for this one.
Donut is cleaning up the Blue Base, and he gets visited by a very familiar someone, but not to Donut, not familiar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Donut attempts to introduce Simmons to the Meta, thinking the Meta is a new Blue.
What, they sent another team member? Why would they do that? That doesn't make any sense. Oh, fuck! Well, welcome to the neighborhood. See you later.
The excavation crew, or whatever you want to call them, they found Caboose trying to mess with the elephant because he was trying to find a home for Epsilon. And then, out of nowhere, the temple opens up. Chaos ensues. There's vehicles and shooting and
great little firefight.
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
Such good action.
Which includes Sarge running faster than the elephant can drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tucker shows up and tells them to run for the temple.
Yeah.
Tucker.
Yeah, our boy showed back up.
Yeah.
What is this, some kind of fucking reunion? Move your asses. Oh, we missed one part when Griff tries to control the vehicle and says, why does this thing have, six directions? And there's only four pedals?
Yes.
Right.
Or four. Man. Four. What is it? Four. Somebody fix
four, it. There's only four directions. Why are there six pedals when there's only four directions?
Right.
That's it.
Yeah, man. I love Tucker coming in with a little bit of swagger. Mm-hmm. Right here.
Yeah.
That's fun.
So excited.
This, I got to tell you guys, this episode, when rewatching it, hit something super fucking cool for me because I got to see this episode about three, maybe four days before it aired on the internet.
How?
Because they showed it at PAX and PAX Prime in 2009, and I was there.
Oh.
And so, as I'm watching it, I'm hearing the crowd in my head, like when the Meta shows up and everyone's like, oh, and then Simmons does this, oh, fuck, welcome to the neighborhood. And everybody's laughing their asses off. But the biggest thing I remember is when Tucker popped on the screen and just the entire auditorium just cheering.
Man, see, that's awesome.
And everyone was so fucking happy to see him.
That's so cool.
Mm.
That was such a cool experience. I had totally forgot that I saw that, but I'm going to send you guys this picture. Because there was a panel from Rooster Teeth where they also showed the episode of RT Shorts where Gavin had clones.
Oh, yeah.
And secret one of door. Them, the secret door, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they all came on stage and they were wearing shirts that looked like the periodic table of elements that spelled out boner.
Oh, good old 2009 humor.
Mm-hmm. That was really cool to relive that watching this because I was like, oh my god, I saw that. I was there.
Yeah, that's so unique. I'm glad. I'm looking forward to hearing like more of you unearthing like what your thoughts were at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because
now
it's
we're
a thing
in
that
it.
A lot of people don't have. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool because through our podcast, I get to kind of re-engage that mindset where I'm starting to like think about how the story's progressing from this point like I was back then. I mean, granted, the only difference is right now obviously I know where the story is going, but we're it's not just me watching the show again. It's me watching it with you guys and kind of analyzing it from this point with what we know without trying to spoil it too much. And it just, it kind of gets me, it got to send me back to 2009, and that was pretty cool.
That's sick. Well, this was a solid batch of episodes.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that, and that was an excellent stopping place for us, Hammer. Hammer makes all of our decisions of like how far we'll go into a season, and that was an excellent stopping point.
Did you choose that because it's like such a good like cutoff for the story, or is it just like a perfect halfway point for the season?
It's a little over halfway. Next time around, we only have like 40-ish minutes worth of the show to watch.
Okay. Yeah, good choice. I'd love that episode.
Oh, boy. Well,
no new email this week.
No new emails. But if you want to email us a question, you can hit us at flyingthecoopmail@gmail.com. Hammer checks them before every single episode. And we usually record during the week. So if you get them in before Friday, well, not before Friday. If you get them in after Friday, then you have no hope most of the time. But if you get them in before like Wednesday, there's a good chance it'll get in there. And my own little plug, I just released a 2.5-hour Q&A with Brandon Farmahini of Rooster Teeth.
Hell yeah.
It was down from 6.5 hours of content we had. And I sent it to him. I spent a lot of time toiling over it. And my whole focus was making sure Brandon sounded good and making sure Rooster Teeth wasn't slandered too bad. And I feel like I've seen comments that mostly reflect that. So
yeah,
use it as a podcast, just take it down in chunks. There's an intermission halfway through where I kind of give you a chance to go grab a drink, because we switch from him being on video to him being off video. And yeah, he talks about some pretty crazy stuff, battle with substance abuse addiction, battle with how Rooster Teeth let him know that, well, first how they let him know that they were being acquired, and then later how they let him know he was being let go, and then kind of his reactions to that. And how he went from the head of live action to losing that job, and what he did afterwards at the company. And to steal one of his quotes, he said, I walked around the company for about a year and everyone just knew me as that guy. And I hated being that guy. Where he said, everybody would just look at me and be like, oh, you're the guy who used to be important, basically, which really interesting. And I saw one commenter point out that Brandon just seems to be super down to earth and very, he has a very clear head about what was happening back then and why it was happening and what he was doing wrong and how it was affecting others and himself, which, really interesting stuff. And then there's just general Rooster Teeth talk too. And we talk about, the full screen sale, whether, you know, people liked it or not, general reactions. And, the whole thing is, I titled it Misunderstood, because I think there was a lot of misunderstanding going around. And I think you'll pick that up in the video with, Brandon, I think, was very misunderstood as a personality at Rooster Teeth. I think a lot of his motivations were misunderstood by people he worked with. And I think maybe some things that were happening above him were things that he misunderstood. Just how content was changing in general was something he misunderstood. So I think there's misunderstandings. Yeah. That were going around. So I would appreciate it if you check it out. And there's even at the very end, there's a little throw to this podcast. I made sure it was the last thing in the video. So heck, when people if they sat through 2.5 hours, it's like, well, do you want to sit through another 90? Watch our podcast.
Yeah, man. Congratulations on getting that wrapped up and put out. I'm seeing positive response. Yeah, right. I'm seeing a lot of positive responses to it, and that's well deserved.
Very well deserved.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'm about halfway through it.
Halfway through it? You have any thoughts? Anything that surprised you?
Nice to hear from him again. I always liked when he was on RTP.
Yeah, and he talks about that a lot. Yep. And I directly asked him about, did he know that the fans kind of had a lot of animosity towards him, and had kind of his reaction, to which he said, oh, yeah. It's it was really obvious. And he gives a lot of really heartfelt answers, like including, you don't want to make the content worse. and that his anxiety was really built up, and was he making the content worse? And again, maybe some things that fans didn't understand about how they have arguments and how podcasts work about, you know, sometimes, as he says in the video, we're not having conversations the way we would have conversations in a car, just chatting, because it would be boring. Mm-hmm. We're having to make them more exciting. And I think a lot of fans just wrote it off as, oh, Brandon's an idiot, which listen to it. Definitely not an idiot, but he does have some very strong opinions about AI that, Hammer, you're going to get to here in a minute when you finish your other half, your second half. He, very big AI guy. So I thought that would be more divisive, but nobody's really said anything about it yet. But yeah, this has been episode 31 of Flying the Coop.
The 31st.
Releasing on the 31st.
Yeah. That was totally planned.
If you have money or the ability to travel or drive, we just want to remind you that we are going to be at Homebrew Austin next month at the end of June. We are going to be the first live show of the first day. Homebrew Austin is basically the new fan-run RTX. It's going to have, I say fan-run, there's going to be a whole bunch of former Rooster Teeth shows, non-Rooster Teeth shows. So far, we know that somebody's coming. Who do we know is coming?
100% Eat.
Boyfriend Material.
Boyfriend Material.
Boyfriend Material.
Should point out that when Floppy said, if you have some money, not only for travel, but there are tickets to this year's event, which has not been the case in the last couple of years.
Yes, there are tickets, $35 a day, but you get all the live shows for the whole day. If you can't afford the live, if you can't afford the tickets for the live shows, there's a bunch of events happening outside. All the live shows are happening at like a bar theater kind of place. But then there's a lot of fan meetups and group activities. And most of those people just, it's like a giant group that just travels from place to place. And within that giant group, it's a bunch of people who don't know each other, basically. Right. Some people will have like one or two friends there. But if you're worried and you're like, I don't know any other Rooster Teeth people. That's the point. None of them know each other. And you could just easily bounce between people, spend some time at the hotel, explore Austin. It's a great time. And I have it on my bingo card that Bernie's going to show up. I've said that every year and been wrong, though. So
Should you use that as your free space?
Sure. If Bernie showed up. If Bernie shows up, I think I just win the whole bingo card.
I believe you.
That'll be
what that's just considered a blackout.
Yeah,
Bernie shows up and he announces Red versus Blue season 22.
21.
Crossover with Ruby.
Oh my God.
Bro.
Calm your tits.
No.
Never mind.
No.
Dude.
Comma. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.